Turn to Psalms 103, starting in verse 3. And if you're able, I'm going to ask, once you found it, if you would stand this morning as we read God's Word. Psalms 103, beginning in verse 3. Stand if you're able as we read God's Word. Psalms 103, beginning in the third verse. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Let's pray together. Lord God, thank you again for this time we have to share together, that we can be in your presence, that we can come together as a family, and we can hear the truth of your word. Now, Lord, I pray just that you would speak to our hearts, that the message it shared would not be mine, but yours. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would just be attentive, that we would be able to set aside the thoughts that are going through our head, the busyness of our schedules, things we have to get done, lunch today, whatever thoughts are going through our head, help us to set those aside. And just to focus on listening to your voice, to your word, and let it have an impact. Let it rule and reign in our lives as believers. So thank you again for your presence here among us. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You can be seated this morning. So as you know, as we are into November, and there is a holiday coming up, Thanksgiving is coming up quickly. But you know, as I drive around, you really wouldn't know it. Visually, you don't really see that Thanksgiving is coming up, do you? You know, last month, you could see the holiday that was coming up. Everywhere you drove, you would see decorations in people's yards, and what would you see? Halloween decorations, cobwebs, skeletons, I don't know, whatever you decorate Halloween with. You saw those all over. And now, as you drive around, you see all the Thanksgiving decorations all over, right? You saw them all on the way here, right? People's yards, just big turkeys in them and pilgrim hats and all the Thanksgiving decorations all over, right?
No, and I haven't seen any real ones running around.
You haven't seen any real turkeys running around either? You probably didn't see Thanksgiving decorations coming up driving here today. What did you see maybe? Christmas decorations. And Christmas is a wonderful holiday. It's celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. I know driving through Defiance, you go to the courthouse and they already have what? All the Christmas decorations up. And you see other places that have the same thing. Because when it comes to Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving has a problem. Did you know that? Thanksgiving has a challenge. What's the challenge that it has? It's hard to make money off Thanksgiving. That's really the problem with Thanksgiving. That's one of the problems. The other problem is, as you think about Thanksgiving, if you really want to celebrate Thanksgiving, you give thanks, right? But who do you give thanks to? That's the truth of Thanksgiving, isn't it? And that's kind of the second problem that Thanksgiving has, because if you really celebrate Thanksgiving, you're reminded that there is a God that you need to give thanks to. And that's not always something that the world is ready to acknowledge. But for we as believers, we should be more than ready to give thanks, shouldn't we? Thanksgiving is as Christian a holiday as there is. Because over and over and over again in God's Word, do you know what it talks about? Giving thanks. About how many things that we as believers have to be thankful for. And this morning and the next couple Sundays, we're going to talk about thankworthy things. Things that are worthy of our thanks. Things that we should be giving thanks for. And this morning as we look at Psalms 103, we get into one of the greatest things that you and I, if you're a believer, if you've accepted Christ, one of the greatest things that you should be giving thanks for. Look again in verse 3 where we started in Psalms 103. And it's talking about the Lord's benefits. Things that God accomplishes or can accomplish in our lives. And what is the first thing that's listed in verse 3? Who forgives what? And your translation may have different wording, at least in the King James. Who forgives all your iniquities. Now there's a second part in that verse. And forgives or heals and heals all your diseases. Which one of those do you get more excited about? There's two separate things listed there, right? And it's easy to look at the and heals all your diseases. Well, that's exciting that God can heal us when we have a physical difficulty, whether it's a disease or some kind of hurt or something that we're dealing with. Can God heal us? Yeah. That's wonderful. And we get excited and we focus on that. But is that as great a thing as the fact that He can forgive our iniquities? No. That He can forgive our sins? Which is greater? You know, if you have a physical problem and God heals you, that's great, isn't it? But what's going to happen eventually? Guess what? You're going to get sick again, aren't you? Sooner or later. And eventually, as you age and get older, unless the Lord comes back first, what's going to happen to the body that you're in right now? You can pray all you want, but eventually your body is going to have a sickness or a disease that it does not recover from, isn't it? Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
Or God, I guess, could take you up into heaven. You can look in the Old Testament. He did that with a couple people, right? I think Elijah going up in the whirlwind. There's a couple people that it said didn't taste death. But for most of us, eventually our bodies are going to give up and we're going to die. Even if He heals us of something right now, we're still going to die in the end. But the greater thing is where it says He forgives all our iniquities or all of our sins. Because guess what? When it says He forgives all of our sins, that makes an eternal difference, doesn't it? Amen. When He forgives our sins, when we accept Jesus Christ and our sins are forgiven, your name is written in the book of life. That means you have a place in heaven prepared for all of eternity. That, folks, should be exciting. That is worth giving God the thanks for, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it? Are you awake this morning? Isn't it? We can get excited in church. It's all right. We should be excited when we think about the fact that He forgives our sins. And it goes on to talk about what that really means in verse 4. Who redeems your life from destruction. Because before your sins are forgiven, where are you headed? You're headed for, what does it say? It starts with a D. I'll give you a hint. Death or destruction, that is your future. How does it feel to think that destruction is in your future? And it says God redeems your life from that. That's what you had in store. What does it mean to be redeemed? He redeems your life from destruction. You had destruction waiting for you. It says He redeems you from that. What's that mean? You're saved from that. You know, when we have examples, sometimes we think of this a little better. Are there things in your life that are destined for destruction? Okay, what kind of things are destined for destruction? We probably have one in the kitchen. Oh, yes. I was hoping it wouldn't be empty. This is a bonus. This wasn't planned this morning. What is this? Okay, what is its future? What's its future? Destruction. The dump or the landfill or whatever. Destruction is in its future, right? That's where it's destined for. And when we threw things in here, we knew that that's where what its future was, right? So what does it mean? That's our future. Before we accept Jesus Christ. When we still have sins in our life, destruction is in our future. So what does it mean when it says that God redeems us from that? He saves us from that. He takes us out of that destruction and He gives us something different. Have you ever dug anything out of the trash? Be honest. Have you ever dug anything out of the trash? You know, once in a while they'll have trash. I don't know, what do they call them? The pickup days when you can put anything out by your curb. What are those called? There's a word for them, isn't there? I don't know what they call it. You can put anything out at the curb, and the trash, they pick it up. But you know what sometimes people do? They'll drive around looking at what people have put out there. And why do they drive around looking at what people have put out there? To see if there's anything that they can use. And when they find something that they can use, do you know what they do? They redeem that thing from destruction. They take what was destined to go to the landfill and they take it and say, no, I can still do something with this. You know, I like watching sometimes shows on TV where they'll take an old car, or sometimes I like the tractor shows. And I was watching one where there's an old 8N tractor that they were getting ready to haul to the dump, to the landfill. And a guy looked at it and he says, oh, wait a minute. I think I can do something with that. And he gave the guy like $20 for it. And he took that, and you could watch the whole show. It went through the whole process of him restoring that old tractor. And you know what that tractor looked like in the end? It looked like new. And he used it, and he put implements on it, and he was farming with it, his little garden or whatever. But that is what it means to have your life redeemed from destruction. It was ready for the landfill, and God says, oh, wait, I can do something with that. And he takes us, he redeems us from that destruction, and he repurposes us and gives us a beautiful future. Is that something you and I should be excited about? That's what it means when it says he redeems our life from destruction. And why is God willing to do that? Do we deserve it? Look in verse 8. It explains why God does it. The Lord is merciful and gracious. Two different things. Merciful means he does not give us what we deserve. Because what do we deserve? We deserve to be hauled to the landfill because we have all that sin and junk and crud in our lives. We deserve destruction. But God has mercy. Mercy means you don't get what you deserve. He looks and he says, no, I have another plan for you. Accept my son, Jesus Christ, have your sins forgiven, and I will redeem your life from that destruction. That is God's mercy. But it also says he is gracious. Grace is a whole different thing. Mercy is not getting what you deserve. Grace is God giving us something that we don't deserve. What does he give us? New life. Eternal life in heaven. Do we deserve that? So God is merciful and gracious. And you know what? Those are thankworthy things. We need to be thankful that our God is merciful and gracious. And look at what it says after that. This part I think we also need to not forget. He's merciful and gracious. What does it say after that? Are you glad that our God is slow to anger? We sometimes don't give that thought enough credit. Are we always slow to anger? How many of you are not always slow to anger in your life? Raise your hand. Be honest. Tammy, get your hand up. Oh, she's working on getting her son's hand up. That's all right then. We can all be there at times in our life where we're not slow to anger. What happens when we're not slow to anger? Things come out that shouldn't. We snap. We want to get back. We want to get even. We want to somebody to pay for what they've done, right? When we can become angry, when we're not slow to anger. What if God was not slow to anger? Every sin that we commit is an affront to God. Do you understand that? When we commit sin, that is working against God. Do you see God's anger sometimes displayed in the Bible? Does God get angry sometimes? Yes. Now, it's a righteous anger. That means when God gets angry, he doesn't sin. We struggle with that part. But God, when he gets angry, can you think of any instances in the Bible where God got angry? Jesus, when he was here and he cleared the temple. Absolutely. Any other instances where you can think where God got angry? Yeah, with the days of Noah. God looks around and when he looked down on the earth, what did he see? Sin. It says sin was rampant. It was all over the place. And people were not acknowledging God. God created every one of them, right? And people were saying, I don't care if God created me. I don't even believe that God created me. I don't even believe in God. I don't care what he thinks. How do you think God feels about that? When his own creation works against him. Very unhappy. God gets angry. It's a righteous anger. And in the days of Noah, God said, enough. And he sent a flood and destroyed the whole earth, except for Noah's family. Any other instances where you can think of God getting angry? Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah. God looked down and you know what? Again, what were people, what were they allowing in their lives? Celebrating, practicing. Sin. They were allowing sin into their lives. And what did God say? I've had enough with this place right over here. And how did he destroy Sodom and Gomorrah? Fire and brimstone fell from heaven, destroyed them completely. So does God get angry? Yeah. What does God get angry at? It says he's slow to anger. That doesn't mean God doesn't get angry altogether. What does he get angry at? Look in Romans chapter 1. I want to make sure it's not just what I'm telling you. Look in Romans chapter 1. New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, and Romans. Chapter 1, verse 18. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. For the wrath of God, you know what wrath means, right? Anger. For the anger or wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all what? Ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So for people that hold the truth of God's word and of God's plan, who for people who turn their back on that and fight against that, that's unrighteousness, isn't it? Fighting against the truth of God's word. And it says, what is revealed against that unrighteousness? The wrath of God is revealed. Whenever there is unrighteousness, ungodliness, people actively fighting and working against the truth of God's word, you know what is along with that? God's anger. God is slow to get angry, but you know what angers him? Sin. Seeing people that he created, that he has an amazing, wonderful plan for, seeing them get involved in sin and allowing sin in and celebrating that sin, God still loves them, because who does God love? Everyone. But can God be angry against that unrighteousness? Can you be angry and love somebody at the same time? Can you? Yeah, you can, can't you?
When did you look at me?
How do you know I was looking at you? Maybe I was looking at Caleb.
I saw that.
Think of the people that you love in your life. I've got front row of them here. I love all of you. But I'm really involved in this front row's life. My wife is here. I love her. Do you think I'm ever angry with her?
Yes.
You love me, right, dear?
I do.
Are you ever angry with me?
Maybe a few times.
A few times?
I think you're going to be in the doghouse.
I'll spread it around. How's that? Caleb, you're in the front row. I love you. Do you think I've ever been angry with you?
Maybe once or twice.
Once or twice? I think you love me. You ever been angry with me? Time or two. You can love somebody and still be angry with them, with the decisions they make, the directions they go, whether it's right or wrong. You know, God does love everyone. It says, for God so loved the world, he sent his son. He sent his son for the whole world. But we do have to understand the God who loves is also the God that can be angry. And when he sees sin, when he sees his creation turn away from him, when he sees his creation that's caught up in sin and celebrates unrighteousness, celebrates things that are apart from him and what his directions for us, that angers God. That's what it said in Romans. But praise God, he is slow to anger. And he is merciful and gracious. And you know what? God doesn't want to be angry. Do you think God wants to be angry with you?
No.
God doesn't want to be angry with any of us. Turn to 1 Thessalonians. Got another scripture. We're getting there. But turn to 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 9. And I know sometimes you think, well, why are we going to so many scriptures? I want to make sure that you know the things I'm sharing are not just my ideas, but it's what God's Word says. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9, it says this: "For God has not appointed us to wrath or to anger, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." You know what that means? God doesn't want to be angry with us. That's not His desire. That's why He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, so that we could have that sin forgiven. And so that sin can be separated from us, and He no longer has to have that anger towards the sin that's present in our lives. That's why He sent His Son. That was God's plan. Now, the sad thing is there are many that reject that plan, that don't accept Jesus Christ. And when they don't accept Jesus Christ, guess what? That sin is still there. And God is angry at sin, at unrighteousness. But this morning, if you've accepted Jesus Christ, what did we read in Psalms 103? It says, God has taken our sin and separated it from us as far as the east is from the west. How far is that exactly? How far is the east from the west? Which direction's west? Which direction's east?
The opposite.
They're opposite, aren't they? You start heading that direction, and if you didn't follow the curvature of the earth, but you just kept going east, and you kept going west, what's the reality of that? They never meet, ever. They just get further and further apart. There's other places in the Word where it says He's blotted out the handwriting against us, the sins in our lives. He blots it out. It's gone. Folks, that is something to be thankful for. That is the greatest thing to be thankful for, that God was merciful enough, that He was gracious enough, that He was slow to anger enough, that He sent His Son to die for our sins. That is God's plan, not to be angry with us, but to say, here, I've made a way for you. Accept this. Accept my plan, and that sin will be gone, and we can have the relationship that we were intended to have. Now, this morning, first of all, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you need to do that. Because if you haven't accepted Jesus Christ, that sin is present in your heart and in your life. It says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. If you have not accepted Jesus, that sin is in your heart and in your life. That is unrighteousness. And if there is unrighteousness that's there, when God looks at you, guess what He sees? What does He see? Sin. That's what He sees. And when God sees sin, what is that like looking at? I'll pick up my handy-dandy garbage bag again here. Any of you want to look in here and root around in here? It's probably got food stuff in here and used plates. And anybody want to root around in here? When we have sin in our life, that's what it's like to God. We're just covered in that trash and filth. That's what sin is. But God tells us you don't have to stay that way. I sent my Son, Jesus Christ, so that when you accept Him, your sins could be forgiven and all that trash and sin and ugliness is gone. And the Bible says you're white as snow.
Thank you, Lord.
You want to be thankful for something, be thankful for that. That God is merciful and gracious and will forgive our sins when we put our trust and faith in Jesus Christ. That those sins will be separated from us, no longer a part of who we are. And that anger that God had is gone, just replaced with His love and with the relationship that we can have. And you know, when a relationship is restored, it is a wonderful thing. You ever had a relationship with somebody and you had a falling out? There was anger there for whatever reason by one party or the other, and your relationship was torn. If it's restored, how does that feel? Isn't that a great burden that's gone? That relationship is what it was, once was. That's what God wants. He wants His relationship with us to be restored. And that can only happen when that sin is taken out of our lives through Jesus Christ. As we approach Thanksgiving, I know we may not see all the decorations up that we'll see for Halloween or for Christmas. But don't neglect to think of how thankful we need to be for God's grace and mercy, that He's provided a plan for us. I want to read one more thing, and you don't have to turn there, but I want to read from Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12, Well, he's only six verses long. It says this. And in that day you shall say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is now turned away, and you comforted me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw water out of the wells of your salvation. And in that day shall you say, praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, you inhabitants of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of you. I guess the verse that really catches my attention, it says, you were angry with me. When we had sin in our lives, that was the case. We had unrighteousness, and there was God's anger. But it says your anger is turned away, and you comforted me. When we accept Jesus Christ, that anger has been turned away, and that relationship has been restored. Make sure you take time to thank the Lord for that, because he made it possible. Not you, not me. He made it possible for our sins to be separated from us. So praise God and thank God for his mercy, for his grace, and that he is slow to anger. Let's pray this morning. Lord God, thank you again for your word. And I pray, Lord, as we approach Thanksgiving, that we would truly take time to consider how much we have to thank you for. That, Lord, the reality is the decisions that we make in our lives, all the sin that we've committed in our lives, you have reason to be angry with us. We've no doubt disappointed you time and time again, over and over. And yet, Lord, you showed mercy and grace. You still provided us a way to be separated from that sin, to have that sin forgiven, and that way was Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for those that are here that have accepted Jesus Christ, just that they would have thankful hearts, that they would remember to thank you for that wonderful gift of having their sins taken away. And Lord, if there is anyone in this place right now that has never accepted Jesus Christ, that sin is still present. That sin is still separating them from you. But Lord, I pray this morning and the morning that they make the decision to accept Jesus Christ, to ask for forgiveness through his name, to have their sins forgiven and their name written in the book of life. I pray, Lord, that you would just speak to any heart that's here that has not accepted you, that this morning would be that morning. But just thank you for being the God that you are. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, as we close this, altar's open. I don't know what needs you have in your life, but God is here. And I just encourage you, if you have a need in your life, come and talk to him about it. God is always ready to hear, to respond, and to answer. Let's bow our heads as we close. Lord God, we just thank you so very much for the truth of your word. We thank you for your mercy and for your grace that you are willing to extend to us. We thank you that you are slow to anger. We thank you for your compassion and for your love towards us. And Lord, as we go through our life this week, just remind us of how thankful we need to be that you provided a way for us to be separated from our sins so that we can have a relationship with you. Keep us mindful of that each day and each moment. And we ask and pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said,
Amen.
God bless you and have a wonderful week.